Hello, cyclocross friends. Welcome back to another episode of Crosshairs Radio. I know we haven't really missed a week, but I have. I've been on vacation and just getting back into the daily routine. And you know what? I know you may have heard this before. There seems to be rumors out there, but Cross, they say it's coming. And soon it's going to be here. But for instance, this weekend, we're doing our Jeremy Powers Washington, D.C. Cyclocross Clinic. If you are listening to this before August 12th, there still might be a spot or two available. Go in there, go out a bike reg, just search for Jeremy Powers. You'll see the D.C. Clinic pop up. Come join us. It'd be awesome. If you don't do that, you know, you can also get a lot of the information that is going to be in that clinic, but not the practical, you know, hands-on advice. But you can get the information in the cyclocross book that we put together. It's called Skills, Drills, and Belly Aches, and it's available at cyclocrossbook.com. So go pick that up. It's also on Amazon. Go search Amazon Skills, Drills, Belly Aches. It's the only thing that's going to be there. Go pick a copy, read the reviews. It's good stuff. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, Nicole Mertz. That's why we're here right now. Nicole Mertz is on the show today. Nicole Mertz has not one, but like two or three really cool stories. We're going to talk about her time down in Asheville racing cyclocross. Also going to talk about her time as a road racer. That's really what she is known for. That is her primary racing discipline is on the road, and we get into that, get into a little controversy that she may have unwittingly stirred up around this road season. So that was a good conversation there, and then talk about a couple other things, and then just the the other disciplines out there. I won't spoil it that she's doing well in and may jump into as well. So it was a cool conversation. We did that in my in-law's house in St. Paul, Minnesota. Was up there before I went to the North Woods with my family for a vacation up in upper Minnesota. But yeah, it was cool. So we're out on the porch, so you get a lot of environmental sounds. I think it sounds good, but there's some dogs barking there. You can actually hear my kids playing in the front yard. So it's a good summer episode. You get all the sounds of a nice Twin City afternoon in this episode. One thing I wanted to share with you all about cyclocross and its imminent arrival is that I'm going to be hitting all of the U.S. World Cups, and I'm going to be doing this with our little traveling crew of Crosshairs Media. We're going to be definitely in Cross Vegas, and we're definitely going to be at Jingle Cross for the two World Cups, trying to work in a trip to Trek Cup as well, because rumor has it, and I don't even think it's a rumor at this point, all the Europeans are going to be there. So that C1 is just going to be insane. That's going to be like a World Cup race in Wisconsin. What we are trying to do is put together a series similar to what I did for Trek for the mountain bike side, the Trailside Dailies, which you should go check out. I had a lot of fun doing those, actually doing one more round, going to be going to Andorra, to Spain, to sort of finish up that series, the Trailside Dailies. If you search for TFR, Trek Factory Racing XC on YouTube, or just Trailside Dailies on YouTube, that should come up. Go check out those videos. I'm trying to put together something similar on the cyclocross side, really geared around starting in Wisconsin and then going to Vegas and then going to Iowa. Have a couple sponsors for that right now, but really looking for more. I think this is going to be, if you are interested in the cyclocross market, this is going to be a really dedicated slice of thousands of viewers that you can reach. Just hit me up at feedback@cxhairs.com if you are interested in being a sponsor for that series. You know, we're looking at all levels from title sponsor just down to contributing sponsor. So if your marketing budget has some money in it and you're looking for an awesome way to reach the cyclocross crowd, yeah, hit me up, feedback@cxhairs.com. Okay, that was a little inside baseball, but I wanted to get out there. Hope you guys share that. Speaking of sharing, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, tell people about the podcast. You know, we have a great community right now. It's in the thousands for people who are listening to this podcast. We'd love to grow it. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear your ideas. And I want to grow this community. I think we got a good thing going, and I would love to continue to do it. So again, Twitter, you can get at me at CXHairs. Same on Instagram, and as I've already said ad nauseum, if you want to get in touch with me, feedback@cxhairs.com. Finally, the weekly plea for all of you to become members of the Wide Angle Podium Network. That's the podcast network. Crosshairs Radio is on Slow Ride Podcast, Honest Bicycle Show, the Meyerson line. Adam's going to be starting up those shows again, so check that out. That's always a good one. Slow Ride Podcast, I've said it before, these guys are like, they've not only hit their stride, now they're just sprinting away. It's a really fun listen, and I look forward to it every week. So check out Little Guy, Spencer, and even Tim. And Slow Ride Podcast is a really good one. So go to wideanglepodium.com. Just click on the Become a Member, Feel Good, Get Stuff link. There's a big orange box there. And then you can see all the ways that you can help us with the network. The lowest level, which is still awesome. It's a high level in my book, but it doesn't cost you that much. It's $5 a month. That is the hero level, you know, and it goes up from there. Look, $5 a month, that's $60 a year. That's what, like 1.5 entries for a cyclocross race. So, you know, I'm not saying don't do two less races, but think of it in that terms. It's really not that much money, and it helps us in a really, really big way. I'm going to be pushing this even more in the weeks to come. We're looking at this almost like NPR, and we're going to be doing more of a drive to get more members into this community. But right now, just keep that in mind. And if you're feeling it, go become a member and tell other people. Again, back to the sharing. Let's grow this community. Tell other people to become members. You know, shout it out. Tag me if you do that at CXHairs. And yeah, that's about it. That was a lot of talking for this intro. See, I go to the woods. I'm not sitting in front of a microphone, and it all just builds up. So that's all I got to say. So let's go talk to Nicole.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So you just got a text from your coach there. What's up?
Well, she just called me.
Okay.
So she wants to chat.
Yeah.
Just started the cyclocross training this week, so.
Push that over closer to you, because I talk louder.
Yeah. Just switched from road to cross training, so.
Yeah. What does that switch mean?
Less, like, longer rides, more shorter high-intensity intervals, and running, which is not my favorite.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm really sore right now from that.
But this must be the first year that you specifically trained running, right?
Yeah.
Because you weren't racing cross until last year.
Yeah,
right?
And last year, too, I really didn't intend on doing a cross season. I just kind of carried over my fitness from my road season, which went into September last year, and I just started doing local cross races and was winning, and so I was like, well, maybe I should.
It's always a good incentive.
Just keep doing it, and I wasn't burnt, like, I thought I was going to be really burnt out, too, after such a long road season, but I really wasn't, so I had no problem, like, just picking up training again, and I think it was nice, too, to go from, like, a really structured road team to kind of just being able to do whatever I want.
Yeah, and even from, I mean, you come from road racing, but even with that, it seems like you got a late start in racing bikes. Tell me just background-wise, what did you come up doing,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm from Minnesota, so I played hockey, obviously, growing
yeah.
up. And I played lacrosse, too. I played lacrosse in college. And when I was done with that, I like didn't know what I was going to do because I've always played sports, and I'm just really...
And just to clarify, because I did the same thing with Evie Richards, who's the was the junior world champion cyclocross, and she kept telling me she played hockey, and she's British.
Ice hockey.
Yeah. And I was like, not ice hockey. She's like, no, field hockey.
Ice hockey. Yeah. And I was a goalie, so. But yeah, I just had to like stay competitive, and my mom was like, well, you should do triathlons, and I was like, that sounds terrible because I hate running. I never did anything endurance. Like, lacrosse is like, I mean, you're running, but for like, you know, 15 seconds.
Yeah. And hockey's stop. Like and, half a minute. And,
and I was a goalie. So.
Oh, really?
Know,
okay.
Yeah, so I was just like, I wasn't just standing in the net. But, you know, it's definitely wasn't an endurance type of sport or anything. But I did, so I did a triathlon on a crappy mountain bike that I got at Target, and I did it. I had like my lock on my seat post too, and like thought I had to like lock my bike up in the transition area, and like had no clue what I was doing. And I came in like dead last, but I for some reason I really liked it. Just I think it was like a new something completely different. It was a new challenge. So I like started training for that. I didn't have a coach or anything. I would just, you know, run, and I bought a road bike, and so I did that for probably like 2 or 3 years, and I mean, I was okay at it, you know, in like the age group division, and then I started taking some class, I was taking some classes at the University of Minnesota, so I decided I would join their cycling team, just more as a way to train for triathlons.
Yeah.
And, I got made fun of a lot because I had, like, I showed up with, like, aero bars and, like, refused to take them off and, you know, didn't wear socks. And,
normal triathlete type stuff.
And I, like, didn't get it either. I was, like, didn't understand why it was, everyone was making fun of me. But
people stealing your water bottle from the back of your saddle.
I didn't have that. I never had that. Yeah, I did some races and was, like, won my first ever race that I did, and it was it was a road race, and I just went off the front and rode it like it was a triathlon, where I just like put my head down and went as hard as I could, and I thought that's what you did, and I just liked it a lot better. It's just more competitive, you know. You're not just racing against yourself in your head,
right?
Anyway, and you had teammates and stuff, which is something I've always had growing up on in team sports. And I switched, you know, during that collegiate season, switched from triathlons to cycling, and, that was probably four or five years ago.
Okay.
So, and I haven't done a triathlon since.
Yeah, and in cycling, I guess, with that early success, you quickly made it through the categories.
Yeah, well, and I was really good in collegiate. And part of it was because our conference wasn't super strong. Like, almost everyone in the women's field in our conference was all from the University of Minnesota. And I thought I was, and I was winning races, and I was like, wow, I must be, like, really good. So I, like, then that summer I went and did, like, some, I, like, started then at as a Cat 3 because of the category I was in for collegiate. And so I went and was able to do some, like, NCC races. And it was just like, hold on, like, I had no clue. And, you know, I hung in there, but that's about all I did. And, I mean, that's kind of all I did, though, for a couple of years until, you know, it kind of clicked and you figured out how to move around.
Right, and how to live in that pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But then, I mean, through that, you found success, you know, ended up making it into the pro ranks.
Yeah, I went, so I was with IS Corps Cycling for, I think, my second season of road cycling. I went and started racing with them because I moved to Wisconsin for like a year, and that's where they're based out of. And so I raced with them, and we were just kind of like a regional, you know, elite team. And then, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I think we can really... We had all the support we needed to really move to the next level of, like, a pro team, and so that's what they did, and they, you know, they got a lot of sponsors, and we got some really good riders, so last year, 2015, was the first season where they had a pro women's team, and I was part of that. And I mean, it was a really great season. I mean, we had really got really good results, and I learned a ton. You know, I just, you know, figuring out more how to race and how to, you know, having a specific job in a race too always helps. And like, you think like you have to do this, and so you just kind of have to do it. Like, you don't really have a choice, you know,
right,
whether or not
right.
you want to be up front or just kind of tail gunning and hanging on back. So,
which, you know, I never really even thought about it in that aspect. It has to make it not easier, but at least you know your goal for that day, instead of, you know, I hope I get near the front and have a chance to win. You're like, no, this is my specific duty for this day.
Yeah, and specific goal. And yeah, it wasn't like, all right, you need to win the race. We had someone else whose job that was. And, you know, just like chasing down breaks and just kind of always being up front, and just having to always be up front made it a lot easier as the season went on. And just, you know, improved my bike handling skills and everything. And just, I'm, you know, comfortable being around really close to people. And
So you pretty much traveled the country doing that, you know, on the circuit.
Yeah, we did the whole NCC National Criterium Calendar circuit. So traveled all over, starting in like beginning of March till beginning of September.
Yeah.
Pretty much on the road. So.
Yeah, and I want to get back to road cycling, but let's just sort of shift over now to cyclocross.
Yeah.
And you have a fun story sort of with your cyclocross career so far, but how did that happen? How did you make that transition? I mean, you're starting from racing a triathlon with a mountain bike to finding road cycling, becoming, you know, successful in that, and now we're moving over to cyclocross. What's
I mean, people, for my first couple of years of racing, everyone was like, you should try cyclocross. Like, I think you'd be really good at it, because I like to just, like, rail corners and crits, and that's, like, I'm not, like, a super strong road rider. Like, I'm nothing special, but I think I'm pretty good at cornering, and that's really where I can get gaps.
Some
and,
fearlessness there.
Yeah. And people told me that, and I was like, oh, you know, I had no idea what it was either for my first couple of years. I'd never seen a race. And then, like, probably 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I got just, like, a cheap cross bike and did a few races, but it was never, like, it was just, like, I'd use my fitness from the road season, and I'd stop training and just kind of do some races and have fun and...
Yeah, which is pretty common. I mean, we get, you know, you look at the beginning of the cyclocross season, and it's really dominated by road racers a lot. And then by, you know, October-ish, November, they're all done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I had always done. My cross season usually went to October, November, and then I took a break.
Yeah.
And then, not this past year, but the year before, I did a little more racing. I was, you know, a cat 2 then. I had cat up to a 2, and so I can do some of the bigger races. And I mean, I wasn't very good. I mean, I was okay, but, you know, nothing. Again, I think it was just, like, my fitness.
Right.
And then last year, started racing, and, I was just winning the local races. So I was like, and we have a really... Minneapolis has a really strong local women's scene.
Oh, that's great.
We've got, like, I mean, there's, like, 3 women who consistently do, like, UCI races, and who have gone over to Europe and stuff, so, which is great. Like, it's so much better to race against a strong field and actually, you know, have competitors. I just figured I might as well keep going, and like I said, I wasn't burnt out or anything. So
did you end up traveling, doing any UCI races?
So I did a couple, but I like funded my cross season on my own last year.
Okay.
So that's kind of the limiting factor, but I did like Truck Cup, because that's pretty close to here. Truck Cup, did like Louisville, Cincinnati.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty like good the travel. Bigger
some
races.
Some big races.
Which is...
some C1s.
And see, I have had no idea either really how like points or anything worked. Mm-hmm. So I was going to all these C1 races and not getting any points or anything. And then I went to the Hendersonville race in North Carolina and got some points there. It was my last race of the season. So I have some points that I'm starting the season without. But
then you make the decision to go to Nationals.
Yep.
Down in Asheville, yet your focus isn't on the elite race necessarily.
Well, it was originally on the elite race, and I wasn't going to do the single speed. And then, 2 weeks before, I was like, well, you know, maybe I should do this. I'm not going to get, a stellar result in the elite race. But maybe I was like, I'd probably get on the podium in the single speed race. And I actually didn't tell my coach, because she probably wouldn't have let me until, a few days before I told her that I was doing it. And she thought it was a bad idea, but I did it anyway.
So, doing that, any... Never ridden single speed cross bike, right?
Yeah.
So, where do you even get the bike? I mean, what bike are you using?
My boyfriend is Kip. He is my mechanic, and he's really good, and he does single speed races. So he switched my bike around to single speed,
right.
And, put the single speed cog on the back and did whatever he had to do. So I just let him deal with that.
Right.
I was there a week and a half before, because Asheville is, it's one of my favorite places, and I go down there and train in the spring. I go down there for a month and train, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why I went to Nationals, too, just because it was in Asheville, and Asheville.
You knew it. Yeah.
So I was there and was able to go ride the course every day before
You picked a heck of a course for to be your first single speed race.
Yeah, it was, hard. That climbing was hard, but I think it was probably to my benefit, though, too. I have that kind of punchy power, and I think too that I am kind of fearless when it comes to going downhill, so
yeah.
I just kind of went for it,
right? That's what it sounds like from that crit from your
because I don't really have I don't really know or didn't what I don't know how to race cross or anything until I finally was figuring out, and my coach was telling me all this stuff. I didn't figure out how to ride off camber stuff until the last couple of races of the season, and I broke a lot of equipment last year, and that was one of the things too, was I was always I have had such bad luck crashing and breaking equipment, and people were like, no, you go too hard, you need to realize when you need to slow down in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know. I kind of like that mentality. Just sort of that reckless abandon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely puts the risk of mechanicals and everything else.
Oh, I had a ton of mechanicals. And yeah, my boyfriend was just always. I broke so many derailleur hangers. And there was one race I broke my derailleur. I think it was Louisville, maybe. And he actually had a kidney stone. And was still in the pit for me, and was when I'd come through, I'd come by and he'd be there, and then I guess as soon as I'd ride by, he'd lay on the ground in the fetal position in
the
mud too, and and then I'd come through and
watching
then
his watch for your lap
yeah,
time,
and then
so
I
knows when you're coming through.
Broke the derailleur hanger and came through, and he didn't have one, so he had to try and I think Mark gave him one, and he had to try and fix that with a kidney stone, and it was this whole... He's definitely puts up with me breaking a lot of equipment, which we kind of share, too.
that's something. So you go into the single speed race with, maybe you can get on a podium, but then how does that play out? What's talk us through the race.
I had a good starting position. Because I think for single speed, it was just your USA Cycling ranking.
Okay.
So I was in the front row. And everyone who was, kind of in the front row with me, I had been racing against all year, and I had beat him at some races, they had beat me, so I knew that, like, everyone was pretty equal. And just had a good start, and got lucky, too, that I'd never crashed once. And then it was, I think, like, me and Jessica Cutler pulled away, and I knew that Jessica's stronger than me, like, she has more power, and she can just go a little harder. But I also knew that I thought I could maybe lose her on some of the technical stuff. And I think that's what happened. I think I think she might have crashed or something, and I just kept going and was able to stay away. But I think she was closing in on me too at the end.
It seemed like just talking to Katie Compton and her battle with Georgia, which seems sort of similar to what you're describing, it was that lower section near the pits that the power people really could use to their benefit, because it was just so hard to sort of pedal through there, and it was flat and long. What gearing, you know, what was your gearing?
I did know.
Yeah, that's all right.
19. I don't know. Again, like, I don't even know what.
I be perfectly honest, I really don't care about that stuff, but then I get these comments that are like, you didn't ask technical questions to people. Like,
yeah, sorry. I don't know. I think I think my bike was up on CX Magazine, so they can go look.
Okay, there. Perfect. All right. So, talking about CX Magazine, that's, I noticed just looking through your portfolio, you've done some work for them, you know, other than being a bike racer, also a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And it looks like a pretty much like a sports influence on that.
Yeah. So I just do like freelance graphic design and web design, which, you know, allows me to train and travel more. But yeah, I started, my first job was at Trek Bicycles.
Okay.
So I started with them and then moved to a company called Sport Engine that did websites for sports teams. So I've kind of always just done sports-based design, I guess. And I like it, too. I mean, it's something that I am passionate about.
Right.
And, you know, I'm surrounded by it all the time. And so, yeah, most of my, you know, when you're doing sports design, the people that see it are going to be, you know, people who are in that industry. So naturally, I kind of just move from one kind of sports thing to the next.
Sure.
So yeah, I just started doing the design and layout for Cyclocross Magazine's print editions.
Nice, so. Nice. And all that, is it NicoleMertz.com? Is that where it's all at? Okay, cool. So people can go check that out.
Yeah.
So, cyclocross-wise, you know, you get the, you end up winning Stars and Stripes in the single speed. So now you have to find, first you have to find single speed races now to actually do so you can like wear your jersey.
Yeah. Well, there's not a lot of, like, just women's single speed races.
Right.
They're, you know, just like men's and women's together.
We can just jump into the men's ones.
Well, no, and that's what I would do, but, I mean, I don't know, I like being able to shift.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I see it a lot in mountain biking, too. People, you know, win these national championship jerseys, like, especially, like, the short track folks and that, and just hang in the closet.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice accomplishment, but
yeah,
you can put it on your cuffs.
Yeah, I'll probably never wear it in a race. Sometimes I'll wear it on group rides.
There you go. Perfect. That's a move right there, showing up at the national championship
jersey.
That's
all, like, that's all I have, so.
Yeah, so I guess the best place to start is going back to road. Little bit of a controversy in your life with this road season. I know you're still sort of working through that, but do you mind talking about just sort of what's going on?
Yeah, well, I guess it started, like, this season, road season has been weird. I've been doing pretty much every race. I've been guest riding on just kind of a couple different teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still technically on IS Corps. Like, I signed a contract with them, and they were, you know, paying some of my registration fees.
But they weren't sending a full squad to a lot of these races? Is that So
yeah, because I wanted to focus more on stage races this year because that's something I had never done, and they were still focusing more on crits. So they would give me, you know, releases to go do these stage races with other teams. And then I went to Tour of America's Dairyland this year, which has always been one of my favorite races. Because, I mean, it's close to me. And it is, it's a great series. It's 11 days of really good crits.
Right.
And the competition is always really good. This year especially had like really, really good fields of like, you know, 60 or 70 women. So I love those races. I was at North Star in Minneapolis racing, and we were all sitting around one night, and someone was like, sent one of my teammates a message about this Instagram account called Toadium Girls. So she showed me, and I was like,
and Toad, so people that don't know, Tour of American Dairyland, so TOAD,
that's
their,
And it was an Instagram account about the Podium Girls at Toad, and just like, you know, headshots and talking about them, and which is, I honestly,
full on biographies.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
it was huge, like it was, layout of long. Everything that they had going on.
And you know, I don't have anything against the I want to call them Toadium Girls against the Podium Girls. Like, I really don't. If you want to do that, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to support cycling or any, you know, it's great. I didn't have a problem with it. It was more just that there's this Instagram account talking, like, just, you know, like, promoting them and the name. I mean, it was kind of clever, but still, like, kind of tacky. And so I just put a comment on my Facebook, like, they should be highlighting the athletes rather than the Podium Girls.
Well, it was, you know, the way I looked at that, it was the men's event. They're the one that have the Podium Girls there, and then focusing, you know, the only women that seemed to be highlighted in any sort of press were the women who were just standing on the podium with the men, where you have these professional women cyclists who weren't getting really that level, if any, of press. And I saw that more, your comment, not on anything against these women, just that, look, if you're going to have a bike race, maybe the focus should be on the athletes who are there and at least give
them
something.
And, I mean, it's just kind of frustrating because, I mean, we spend so much money training and racing and traveling and time and then, you know, they're getting the acknowledgement rather than
and that's the main point. And it was nothing, it wasn't mocking or making fun of them, it was merely we're working really hard for equality here from you know, prize money and everything else. What helps that is if people know about the sport, and that sort of builds it all up,
so. And then my the comment like blew up. Apparently there were a lot more people looking at my Facebook page than I thought, which I guess I know now, but it got taken to like a whole nother level, and it was turned into this thing like against Podium Girls and against the race and everything, and like that was not my intention. and then I got, you know, was told like a week later that I wouldn't be sponsored anymore for cyclocross because I was talking negatively about a race promoter on social media, which, you know, I signed a contract that said I wouldn't, and I guess it could be seen as, you know, talking negatively about a race promoter, so,
I don't know. I think you could slice that a different way, where it wasn't really talking negatively, it was merely criticism, which isn't, you know, it was hoping that they would do more for the investment that they made having all of these women's races, that they would do more to promote it. And that's that's the vein that it should have been taken in, instead of that you were somehow bad-mouthing a race you love, that you said
And I think one of the reasons too why I was kind of upset about that Instagram account was because it's a race that, you know, I've always gone to, I've always supported ever since I started racing, and just respected them, I guess, a lot. And then
yeah.
I saw that. And
you don't have to say. I'll say it. I mean, the whole podium girl thing, if it went away, I would not shed a tear for that.
I think, like, podium puppies would.
Podium putty puppies would be pretty awesome.
People would like that.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm blanking on the race now. It's the, I'm going to get in trouble for this. But the ones that have the podium pig. If you win, you get a little piglet.
Oh, I would love.
Like a live one. Like Dan Craven. There's these great.
Do you keep it? Or you have to give it back?
It's again, I'm going to screw it up. I think if you are, it was only supposed to be for people from that region of France, for the highest person for them. And then Dan Craven, who's this African rider, he got on the podium and was like, I need the pig.
Yeah.
So they got him, and then all their promo pictures now have him just cradling this pig, which is just amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's the coolest thing. And Wisconsin, they got a lot of livestock.
Yeah,
they can
pigs,
they got
cows,
pigs,
you know,
cows.
Have some baby cows.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so they should take us up on those ideas.
Yeah, it is. It's a good idea. They'd probably get more people to come.
Yeah. So you started to have success in cyclocross. You win a national championship in the single speed race. You are, getting with your coach, figuring out a real cyclocross plan. And then get this huge wrench thrown in the works.
Yeah. And it was very frustrating, and I was pretty angry when I first saw that email. Because, we had just talked about, what the kind of support they were going to give me. And basically, it was kind of a done deal, I saw. And then I had this whole plan and everything, and then it was kind of just all came crashing down, and I kind of freaked out. What am I going to do? I can't afford to do this. I probably wouldn't be even able to afford to do the schedule I had done last season, because I was paying for some of my road stuff this season too. So, I kind of freaked out. But there were some women in Minneapolis who we're like, we'll help you, don't worry about it, we'll help you get sponsors. So there were four women who are really big in the cycling community, and they're one is head of marketing somewhere. They know what they're doing, and they have their own teams and run their own teams. And so they helped me, and within literally a day, I had a meeting with them, and they had everything planned. How they had these proposals written up and everything, and they were kind of fueled too by the fact that the reason that I lost my sponsorship was because of a comment made about the podium girls. And they had this idea that to do a crowdsourcing kind of thing, which I'm not a huge fan of. I don't really like it. It's just kind of hey, give me money so I can, go do this fun hobby or whatever. But they were no, people will really like it. Well, and I was all right, I don't really have any other options.
Yeah. So, I think I share your sentiment with the crowdsourcing just to people. Hey, I want to race, a season, help me do it. I really not a fan of, but I think there are certain circumstances, this being one where, look, this is sort of gone beyond that, where you were put in this position because of something you said to try to support the sport. So, yeah, I can see this as being a good exception to that.
Okay, good. so they did this where, if people donated, then they could, submit a message, and it is going on my skin suit.
Oh, nice.
To make this pattern on my skin suit. So, we've sent the design in, and it's kind of the whole campaign, I guess, is wrapped up. But I got way, way more support than I was expecting. They told me this, and I was okay, cool. We'll get a little bit of money and be able to, do a couple races.
Yeah.
But it's really, really gone above and beyond, and it's been really cool just to see.
No, that's great to see when that community can really, and it also shows. And I always like to give the U.S. a pat on the back when it still needs work when it comes to women's cycling compared to Europe and other places in the world, that the support is there. And when people see something like this, they're definitely gonna step up.
Yeah, I got a ton of like positive feedback, and so it's been really great and like overwhelming too.
Yeah.
At the same time, like I don't know what to do. But the kit's going to be really cool because it's going to have all these messages. Like,
that's great. Are you designing it?
Yeah, I did.
Nice.
I designed it. It's kind of got like a 90s NASCAR theme to it.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
So it's going to look cool.
Yeah.
And then yeah, I got some sponsors too, some great business sponsors. So it's turning out to be, I mean, it's for the better that this happened. Like, I think it'll work out in the long run better. And I hopefully too, I can sort of turn this, team, it's not really a team cause it's just me right now, but maybe, you know, next year we can like add a few more women and kind of grow it into something bigger.
That'd be incredible. And that really is sort of the, you know, for better or for worse, the cyclocross model now, since big teams just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's having something like that, and if you're able to make it successful, bringing on another person is pretty cool. So with that, has your schedule now expanded for what you're doing?
It's gotten a little bigger. I've added, I think, a few more races. So I'll be on all of October. I'll be on the East Coast.
Great. So you're doing like a Charm City?
Yeah.
Cool.
And like DCCS.
You are doing DCCS? Yeah. Oh, awesome.
So
thank
you. I've never raced cross on the East Coast. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
So I announced Charm City, and then I'm one of the promoters for DCCS.
Okay.
So cool. No, yeah. We'll have to talk about that.
Yep.
That
yeah. Visit. I'll
yeah.
be there.
Good. So. Good deal. Well, that's great. So any other road races left? Or you?
Nope. I'm done. I was just at Intelligentsia Cup in Chicago last weekend, and that was it. I did the fixed gear crit.
Yeah, how was that?
It was kind of terrifying because it was my first time ever riding a fixed gear.
Oh, jeez. You just like to jump into these things.
Someone like let me borrow their bike, and I, it was fun. It was really fun. I got second.
Really?
That's amazing. Yeah.
So you're gonna be off doing Red Hook now.
Well,
next year.
Actually, I've been approached about doing that maybe next year. So I think that would be something.
That'd be great.
Something fun. I think too, after this cross season, it'll be hard to like, because if you're gonna do cross season and then road, you kind of don't really get a break. You gotta, because you're gonna be doing stage races, and you know.
Is that still your primary focus? Is going back and finding support for racing stage races? Is that?
You know, if it happens, it happens. But right now, I'm just kind of focused on cross.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to eventually, but, you know, maybe not next year. Mm-hmm. The politics are kind of
a
little much right now. So
just let everything sort of smooth. Find a solution for things, and then see where it goes. And in the meantime, enjoy the cross season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely going to... I'll have a little more pressure this year just with, you know, having my own sponsors and personal relationships now with them that, you know, I want to, you know, do good for them and for everyone who supported me, you know, thinking like, here's some money for your season and now go win and, you know, do really good. So
that's great.
I think it'll be a good season. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't really know what to do.
It sounds like you're a fast learner,
though. I just kind of go out there and ride hard.
Figure out off cambers, and then you're just going to be unstoppable.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Social media, all that kind of stuff, where can people follow along with you?
I'm on Instagram. It's Mertz, MERTZ019.
Okay.
I don't really do Twitter.
Okay. Perfect. Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There you have it. Nicole Mertz. That was a fun conversation. A couple notes. One, because I know you all were yelling at me while I was fumbling through it. Trobro Leon. Okay. Got that one out of the way. Two, Evie Richards, not the junior women's cyclocross champion, but the U23 women's cyclocross champion. So, yeah, those are the corrections. once again, that was a fun conversation. And we're going to be right on it next week. Have another show for you, nailing that one down right now. Go to iTunes, rate, review. Thank you all who have done that recently. That helps a ton. Go to the wideanglepodium.com, become a member, hit me up at feedback@cxhairs.com or on Twitter and Instagram @cxhairs, and we'll see you next week. Thanks again for tuning in to Crosshairs Radio.